J.
Pitchings.
How you doing?
Do you know what? I'm actually feeling quite chipper.
She's feeling chipper.
You know.
And Andy and I had a bit of a fight last night, so is that why you're feeling chipper?
We didn't have a fight.
No, we didn't have a fight. We didn't have a fight.
You were just a prick.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, that's not very nice.
But fair. Because we're recording this on a different day to our usual record day.
Yes.
And we're doing it, you know, early in the morning, which I'm always a bit like, I don't know how I feel about that. But actually, now I'm actually quite okay.
And also, when we get on, we actually realise that we're both a bit delirious and it's actually really funny.
It just adds to the whole, you know, shit show, really.
Shit show. The shit show that is FTF, basically. I've got a very British problem question for you before we launch into the ep.
Okay, yeah.
You're in a situation with a group of strangers when you're asked to go around the table and say a little bit about yourself.
Mm.
Would you rather be first or last?
Last. 100% last.
I think I'd rather be somewhere in the middle.
Well, yeah, but that was an option. You said first or last.
Mm.
Yeah, you can't be now saying, well, actually, I'll be in the middle. No.
I actually think I'd rather go first.
No, I'd rather go last so I can hear everyone else's, which then helps me to make my decision about what I'm going to say.
What would you say?
I'd say, hi, everybody. My name's Angie. I do a podcast with my sister, who's called Patty. And the podcast is called Finding the Funny. We're both really funny. I'm probably funnier.
Yeah, that is too much. That is definitely true. I'd say that. I'd be like, I do a podcast with my sister. She's much funnier.
I actually don't think that is true. But I'd do the whole boring spiel. I'm married, I've got two kids, a dog, I live out in the sticks. And then I'd sort of hit them with the whole Finding the Funny, we're brilliant, check it out.
Right, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, you've got that well planned. You could go anywhere in the journey.
What do you mean? In the like room?
Round the table. Yeah, you could go anywhere. You've got it down, mate. You've got a patter. Hi, I'm Angie. I've got two kids, Joel and Ellen. Boring, boring, boring. I'm married. Boring. I've got a dog. I live out in the sticks. Boring, 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 boring. I do a podcast with my sister called Patty called Finding the Funny. Check it out. Bam. Done. Boom.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. What would you say?
We did the poll. Oh, what would I say? I'd just be like, hi, my name's Ruth. Do you know what I'd say? So Ange and I had a conversation last night where I told Ange that I found out my rising star sign and my moon star sign.
Oh, God. All that bollocks. Honestly.
And Ange was basically like, this is a load of bollocks.
I'd say,
hi, everyone. My name's Ruth. My sun sign is Taurus. My moon sign is Capricorn and my rising sign is Libra.
And at that point, everyone would go, steer clear of that woman. She's a fucking maniac.
I'm just off to charge my crystals. I don't get that. I don't know what charging your crystals is.
Well, I tell you, that's your next thing. I said to you last night, you're on your gateway. You're currently on your gateway drug. You're at your weed point in this journey. Before you know it, you're going to be on crack. You're going to be charging crystals.
Charging crystals whilst on crack.
Exactly.
We do not endorse any use.
We do not condone
substances.
Crack usage.
I did the poll. I did the sat-nav poll.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Okay.
It's so close.
Is it?
It's so close. So I said, do you have the sat-nav sound on?
Mm.
46% said no. 54% said yes.
Yes! Another poll in the bag.
Other way round. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Oh, you pit.
Sorry. 46% said yes, they do have the sound on.
54%
said no. But how close is that? There's like 30 votes, isn't it?
That is close.
Normally our polls are like
really
extreme. They're like Marmite. Yeah. This is the closest poll we'd ever had.
Yeah.
I had so many messages in from people.
Yeah.
Say, I actually had a WhatsApp from my friend Natasha,
all right,
who listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
And she just messaged me saying, oh my God, I have my sat nav volume at like 80%.
Yes. Yes.
She said, I have my music on in the car, so I can't hear it otherwise.
Yeah. I just can't. I had a few messages, people saying, Angie, I'm so with you. I can't. And I do think it is a thing for a lot of women when they get to a certain age, where the whole thing about driving a car, trying to look at the sat nav and then look at the road and just be completely like, where am I going? What am I doing? That's why I need the sound. I need Barbara telling me, at the next roundabout, take the third exit down to Gittenjulebeer Road. I need that. Otherwise, I do find sat navs confusing.
Right.
I do. I look sometimes and I'm like, what? Hang on. What lane do I need to be in? Do I come off at this exit? No, keep going. The road is blue ahead. Just keep going. You don't need to come off yet, Angie. I need Barbara to give me some direction.
Okay, we're going to do a little bit of a, like, Ask Us Anything episode, aren't we? We're going to do a little, questions, not going to lie, yada, 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 yada,
yada, yada, yada, yeah.
The first one isn't an anonymous one. It came in from Claire, and Claire just said, which of the three of you had the best exam results? First off, we just want to say it wasn't James. James left school with two GCSEs, drama and home economics, now called food tech. So he got a B in drama and he got a C in home economics. Just to put it this way, James wanted to do music at school, but he couldn't because there weren't enough people to do it. So he had to do European studies. In his European studies exam, he wrote a letter to the examiner and said, I haven't revised for this, but my European studies teacher says I'm going to fail. Let's have the last laugh. Every time I make you laugh in this letter, give me a mark. And he wrote this out. He spent the whole exam writing a letter for the European studies exam because he was annoyed because he didn't get to do music.
European studies.
With Mr. Beard. Mr. Beard.
Mr. Beard.
What a classic.
Bloody Mr. Beard.
So if you... It's the reason when... Counting James out is because he got, we like know, two. He got drama and home economics. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So are we saying like...
A to C.
Right, so they're your passes.
They're your passes, yeah.
I think I got, I didn't get a lot out of, I don't know how many you did back then. It was about 7 or 8 or something.
I don't know, Angie, but I know what I got because I checked last night.
Oh, you are such a prick.
Yeah.
I think I got, it was either like 4 or 5.
Well, which was it?
Right, it was definitely drama, English. Yeah. What was the sewing one?
Textiles.
Textiles. Oh, I just farted. Laugh farts.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. The way you said that, you sounded like Miriam Margolyes. Oh, I just farted.
I just did a slight lean in where the buttocks come off the seat, did a laugh and it popped.
Bam, out it came. So you got the sewing one, textiles.
Sewing.
The sewing one.
Drama, English.
English, sewing. Textiles.
Textiles. I don't even know what else I did. I don't think I got maths.
Did you get a language?
Language? It might have got Francais. Yeah. That was my language.
Listen, the thing, the answer to this question is you don't know.
Well, it's either 4 or 5.
Well, I got 5.
Okay, then you probably win because it was probably more like 4.
Yeah, I got 5. I got 5 A to C.
What were your fives then? What were your fives?
Religious education.
Oh, maybe I got an RS.
I got an A.
Or RE. Yeah.
Drama.
Now look at you into your crystals and your astrology. Yeah. What a load of shit that was.
Yeah. Drama, I got an A star. I actually got the highest grade in the country.
You got the highest grade in the country?
Because my teacher, Mrs. Alford, told me.
She lied.
I got 100%.
Okay, carry on, yeah.
So I've got RE.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah.
Home economics.
Yeah.
English.
Yeah.
Music.
Well done, Patty.
Thank you.
Come in top spot.
Thank you. So we've had quite a lot of stuff about our people asking me, am I on a health and fitness journey? How do I stay motivated? I'm really struggling, all of that kind of stuff. Mm. So I thought we could just, I mean, obviously, Ange, you have been much more into this fitness game than I have. You've been in it longer.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite easy for me at the moment to stay relatively motivated because I don't think the hard stuff, you know, the weather's getting better.
Yeah.
It's nicer outside. Going for a walk isn't, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like the winter months when you've got to.
A tough.
Get out and do it, and it's cold and wet and raining and stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you stay motivated? You talk a little bit about it first because you've been doing longer, and then I will talk about it.
So I think for me, it's always just been about trying to do something every day. 30 minutes of a walk, on the bike. If I have time to get to the gym, go for a swim. So I try and kind of incorporate that into my day.
Right.
But I think for me, the biggest thing I have found from doing it is the impact it has on my head. Mm. And that, I think, is what is my driver.
By your head, you mean your mental health, not like when you go to the gym or when you do exercise, something physically happens to your head.
No, it doesn't sort of grow or go a bit weird.
Or shrink or
whatever. No.
Just the fact that you said my head, I had these images of you coming out of a swim and your head was completely different.
Like a balloon or something.
And you got in the car and looked in your visor and went, oh, yes,
there we go. There's the head impact.
That's what I wanted.
No, I mean like my mental health.
Your mental health, yeah.
Because I sort of started to notice on the days where I hadn't done that, and look, there are some days where you're just like, I just cannot fit it in today. I've got too much on. There's loads of work to do. I've got, you know, ferrying kids here, there and everywhere. So I think there are days where you just have to go, do you know what? It's just not going to happen today. And that's absolutely fine. But I noticed on the days or the times where I haven't done something, half an hour of something, and I've let that happen a bit too much, or it's been like, you know, a week, or I noticed the impact it has on my mental health and how by doing that half an hour makes such a difference to how I feel. And then, so for me, it's like the physical benefits are obviously going to happen. It's going to, you know, if you do more exercise, you are going to get physically fitter, and you are potentially going to change your body and what you look like and all those things, which is obviously a good thing as well. But for me, it's always been the impact it has on how I feel, on my mental health. And that is then what is my driver to do it every day. Even on the days when I'm like, seriously, I cannot be asked to go and get on that bike. I cannot be asked.
Well, I was like that last night.
Yes, exactly.
I walked to the gym last night.
Yeah.
It's like a 5 or 6 minute walk there. It's half an hour. It's a 5 or 6 minute walk back.
Yeah.
And when I came home, I felt so good.
Yeah, exactly.
The endorphins, and that's how I stay motivated. So I think what I've found is, yes, it definitely does have an impact on my mental health. I think the endless evening scrolling for me has changed a lot. Yeah. So I'm not just always on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, and also the thing for me, I know we've said that I, you know, deserve to be in the sin bin for my slagging off of the Apple Watch and then joining the crew.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how motivating that has
it
been.
It is.
Which sounds
100%.
So weird.
No, it doesn't at
but
all.
That whole thing of like,
yeah,
I would like to more days than not close my rings on my watch.
Yeah.
Has become a real like.
Totally.
That's what I want to do.
Mm. Honestly, that is a real motivator, that.
Yeah,
when
for
you
sure.
can kind of, and some days when you look at it and you go, shit, I've like done 50 steps.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
Well, I was such a dick. My manager, who we'll call Dwayne.
Yes, Dwayne. Yep.
Dwayne was absolutely ripping me this week. She was like, what has happened to you, man? This is a joke. Honestly, I have had so much shit because on Wednesday we were both in. So yeah. we've both been in most of this week together. And on Wednesday I was like, oh my God, my watch has told me I've got a stand. And she turned to me and she was like, Ruth, man, what? Right, so I not only did I stand, I got up and I ran up to the next floor and I ran back down. She was in a meeting, and as soon as the meeting finished, she took her headphones off and she was like, this is a joke. Nah, man, you're one of them now. You're one of them.
You absolutely are. You have become a wanker.
That's what Dwayne was saying. Dwayne, yeah. she called me a wanker. She was like, you are. Yeah. Nah, I'm not having this. I'm not having this. It was so funny.
This is not normal Patty behaviour.
Somebody messaged in and said, I really want to know your icks, please.
Well, my ick is people calling it an ick and asking, what's your ick? That is the ick. That, right there, whoever's asked that question.
Well, that was anonymous, so I can't tell you who that
no,
was.
No, well, just know that you asking that has given me the ick because it's all about the ick and I don't even like the word ick.
It's all about the ick.
Why have we started using that word?
That's not the question, Ange.
Well, that's my question.
Let's stay on track.
Right, okay, so I'm not going to say what gives me the ick because I really absolutely cannot stand that phrase. What, I don't know, what? So what's an alternative for ick? What makes you, what repulses you?
Yeah, I suppose so.
What repulses me?
What is something that Ian could do that would instantly make you go, bleh? No thanks. He probably already has done it.
Probably numerous times.
Yeah, probably. Have you got anything that you think like that would really make you go? I mean, I don't think I have a lot of it.
No, I don't think I actually do.
I think the thing is with me is I just take the piss out of it.
Yes, so that's
that,
exactly
like,
me
ick
too.
Feeling wouldn't really yeah. be there. If somebody, if Matthew did something, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Just do.
Yeah.
And I would take the piss out of it and be like, oh, yeah, that's
true. Sure, I actually find quite repulsive. And I know we all do it, and I know I do it, but picking
when
you
pick
nose. Yeah, I actually really hate that. I hate seeing someone pick their nose. It's disgusting, really, isn't it? When you think about it.
No, but you do it.
I know. I that's what I said at the top. I know that we all do it, and I also do it. But if I see someone picking their nose, like having a really good root, I think that's the thing, rooting around.
I tell you who absolutely hates that.
Who?
Cassie.
Does she?
So Cassie is a tissue nose. I've known Cassie for like, what, 2.5 years now. I've never seen her pick her nose.
No.
She
will just blow her nose.
Yeah, or she'll get a tissue and she'll like turn away and she'll just secretly like, wow. I've never seen her put her finger up her nose. She absolutely fucking hates it.
Yeah. The thing is, right, it's okay if you just think, oh, I've got a little something floating on the side of my nostril. You know, you sort of get those little, and you can feel
she
it when you breathe.
She wouldn't even do that.
I don't mind seeing someone do that. You know, just got a little floater just hanging around. I get that. It's when, and I think it is, I think men in particular.
I don't know, I quite like a nose pick.
Yeah, but I think there's something about men with their big sausage fingers. And their big noses. And I swear, men can pick their nose for like an hour's car journey non-stop.
Mal can.
Ian can.
Ian can.
I just think, what? How many bogeys have you got up your nose to be doing that for an hour? And it's just the rooting. It's the... You know, finger up, oh, I've got to turn it that way, and the whole arm goes up, and you, oh, I just bit that side, and turn it that way, and then they pull it out, and oh, it's just, that actually, the more I think about that, and the more I talk about it.
That's the ick.
That's actually disgusting.
That's actually icky for you.
It is. That really does make me want to slightly vomit in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything that would really make me...
Because the thing is as well, it's like, because we love the whole toilet humour, poos and farts and, you know, things like that quite often give people the ick, isn't it? If someone, like, farts and, burping, I mean, you know...
Oh, God.
I'm a bloody, the queen of the burps.
Yeah.
So none of that stuff really bothers me. If anything, I just find it quite funny. Mm. Whereas I think a lot of people do find that disgusting.
Yeah.
Someone doing a big belch.
A big belch.
That's a great word, isn't it?
Somebody passing gas.
Yeah, I think, Mal can't stand that, can he? There's no acknowledgement.
The kind of incessant hatred that he builds in Mal is just totally unwarranted.
It is, actually.
It's just like, Mal, take a chill pill.
Yeah, relax.
Get a grip.
Yeah.
Somebody has farted in your space. Chill out, man. Nobody's died. Nobody's tried to hurt you. Yeah. Somebody has literally released
a bit of gas
from their body and their butt cheeks have rumbled together.
Yeah. And actually, Mal, you do it a lot. And you just don't even crack a smile. That is weird.
Yeah, I don't really think I have any. I'm just trying to think if there's something that would make me go... I tell you what I think what I would really hate on a man is long fingernails.
Oh,
that is a big ick.
Now you said it, actually, that's actually really upset my stomach.
Oof. Oh.
That's really maybe a...
Oh my God. That is hilarious. Yeah, long fingernails on men. Cut them down.
Oh. Have you ever seen it as well? Some men.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they play the guitar. They have like one long thumbnail. What is that about?
Or a baby fingernail.
Yes, just one. That's
their nose picker.
Oh no, right. That's not okay.
Long fingernails on guys.
That is just right.
Just cut them down.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that.
I also just think the dirt that is under those nails. That you have got scum under there.
Yeah, but if you've got long nails as a girl, you can get scum under there.
Yeah, but I think a lot of women would, you know, you sort of try and give that. Men are just like, oh, it's long and there's loads of shit under there. Brilliant. I'll pick my nose later with that one. They just don't see it in the same way.
Oh my God. That is one of the, I think that little bit there is one of the funniest. But you go, oh God, oh, actually, that's made my stomach feel quite. Now you've said that. Recoiling. Recoiling at the sight of a long fingernail.
Oh, disgusting.
I just want to read this one out. I don't really think there's a chatting topic, but I did read this to you last night, but this is in the Not Gonna Lie, but it really shocked me.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes when I'm on the toilet shifting a hearty poo, I'll squeeze and pant and pretend that I'm on a labour ward giving birth, then say to myself, one more push and it will be out before making my final shitty heave. Does anyone else do this?
No.
No.
No. Nobody else. Well, as far as I know, nobody else.
I think that's a poll.
What? If people feel like they're actually giving birth doing a poo?
When you're doing a poo, do you ever pretend you're on the labour ward?
I don't think anyone is going to say yes to that.
Neither do I.
Do you ever get this is a Taraism? This is. She says
your friend Tara. You
mean, oh yeah, sorry. So, yeah.
Well, Anne just got a friend called Tara who says some really, really funny.
She's brilliant. Yeah, she's absolutely
hilarious.
Brilliant. She actually said the other day because we call our group. There's a few of us that we're the Sonning Borders. We're the Borders babes.
Borders babes.
And we did like a little Borders come dine with me.
Oh,
and we all went to one of the Borders' houses, and we all brought a dish, and it was great fun. It was brilliant.
Great fun.
And this particular night, Tara was coming out with some classics, but one of the ones she said, which absolutely cracked me up, she said, "My fanny is like a clown's pocket." I was like, "What do you mean a clown's pocket?" I said, "I've never big and baggy,
yeah."
Loose and flappy. That's what she said. Loose and flappy.
Like
I was like, I have never heard that phrase. Mm. My fanny is like a clown's pocket. Anyway, so she says, approximately once a year, she gets shooty bum pain.
Oh, I know what she means. I know what she means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you just get like a shooting pain actually in your asshole.
Yeah.
But she... yeah, she's like, you know, approximately once a year.
I've never realised it's once a year.
Well, that's... Tara believes it's once a year that she gets the shooty bum pain.
I'm not going to lie. This episode has descended into chaos.
Which actually means it's one of our best.
This is absolutely bonkers.
Shooty bum pain, long fingernails, picking your nose, doing hefty poos.
No, hurty poos.
Hurty poos.
I might start adopting that though, because there are some poos that do hurt.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd go to the extremes of thinking I'm on a labour ward, though.
No, but I sometimes am like, oh, that poo was... I might start just saying hurty poo.
I'm just off to do a hurty poo.
Well, you don't know often until you sit down, do you?
Oh, I think you can feel that it's going to be a hurty one. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Especially if you're a bit backed up, you know.
Well.
Okay. If you've not been on your fibrous diets.
That's true. Mm. Okay, so the last question that I thought would, the last one that I thought we'd end with is, we have touched on this before, but Pippa said on Instagram, the bond you two have as sisters is just beautiful. Do you ever fall out? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Not very
we do.
Often, though, anymore.
No.
We've gone. I mean, I don't think we've had a fallout for about 2 years.
No.
The last big fallout was when we went on holiday to Spain a couple of years ago. Which
that
is coming
was a
up
big
to...
One.
That was a big one. That was fucking massive.
Yeah, that was big.
That was nearly the end of the pod and everything.
That really was. I mean, that was nearly the end of just us. As a sisterhood.
Oh, no, don't say that. That makes me want to cry. That does give me the ick. That makes me go... Bleh. No, don't ever say that.
No, that would never, ever happen.
Never. But I don't think we've had like a proper fight or a fallout. I think we're coming up 2 years.
Yeah. But I think it is just that we both just know how to handle each other.
Yeah.
I think we're just a bit more tolerant and we're not as like, well, you've done that and that's really pissing me off and I'm going to tell you about it and I'm going to absolutely lose my shit with you and then I'm going to slam the phone down, which is always my thing. I was always going to just like hang up with you and not talking to you anymore. I think we just are better at, when those little things happen or come up, we're better at managing ourselves and also knowing how to manage each other.
Yeah.
And I just think we are better at doing that now. And I also think,
you know, I know probably in the last 5 years, I've probably matured a lot more. Like, I think I've got better, not perfect at it, but I think I've got better at having a bit more of a filter
Yes.
And not being so reactionary.
Yes.
And I know that that's true because when Dad tries to talk to me about politics, I will now shut it down. Whereas before, I would have wanted to rile it a bit.
To have
and
that.
I would have wanted to have that kind of...
confrontation.
Yeah. And not necessarily confrontation, but I was just so desperate to get my point across. I was so like, I want you to hear what I've got to say.
Mm.
Whereas I think now I'm just like, we know where, you know, Dad and I know where we sit politically. We know that there's going to be things we agree
you are going to be
things
different.
That we
yeah.
absolutely will never, ever see eye to eye on.
Mm.
but I think, so I think I've definitely in the last 5 years, I think I've grown up and matured quite a lot.
Yeah, I
also
agree.
Think we have had to go through some of those really massive ding-dongs to get to where we are now. Just little things like, I know that if there's something, if something comes up in the moment, like the conversation we were having last night, and you know, we were talking and it just came up and we managed it really well, and we both tried to be gracious and respectful of each other.
Yeah.
But I know we are better to have the first bit of our chat on text.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that's something you and I have figured out.
Yeah, 100%.
Really, really well.
Yeah.
That actually, if there's something that has niggled us or that we're like, I feel really hurt
I just
by
need
this,
to,
I need to say it,
trying
to do that over the phone, because I think both of us are quite similar. And if we feel like we're being attacked or if it's being caught off guard, we both get
that's
defensive.
It.
We're like,
totally.
What are you saying? Oh my God, I can't believe you've done that. That's not true. Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
Whereas if we get a text message,
yes,
we can dissect it and read it and think, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I need to figure out how I respond to this.
Yeah. So I think we have done a lot of work on figuring out how we get to this stage in our relationship.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, Pat, and I think probably the reason we had such a massive fallout a couple of years ago, I do think COVID had a huge impact on that.
100%. 100% that was
none of us could
impact.
Spend time together, and then we all went on holiday together.
Yeah,
like the first moment that we could go away.
Yeah,
where it was like restrictions were really lifted, the vaccine was being rolled out, all of that stuff. You were getting back to that first point. We all went away together, having not really spent any time together for like 2 years.
Yeah, yeah,
and we were like thrown into this. Yeah. Like,
we're all going to live together now for 10 days. Yeah.
And you're all going to get on. You had other stresses going on with your job at the time.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that had a massive impact on you that you couldn't completely shut off and relax.
Totally.
And it was like constantly hanging over you.
Yeah.
But I think that was such a tricky time because I think when family started to come back together.
Oh, it was like you had to kind of learn to be together again.
Yeah.
Definitely. That was had a massive impact, I think.
Yeah.
And I just think actually just overall, those kind of, you know, relationships you have with other people outside of what was basically like your bubble for, you know, what, probably about 18 months, year 18 months, give or take. You know, I think that whole thing of adjusting back to sort of normal life was a bigger adjustment than I think we all probably realised. And I think for us, going away as a family, having not really had that,
it
was that was a big like, and I think that's exactly why that holiday had the big old ding dong, as you call it.
I also just think you and I can have those really big fallouts because genuinely we know never ever get to the
absolutely
stage. Like, even if we had ended that holiday and we hadn't had the big conversation that we had at the end of it and worked through it, and I know without question there will never be a time where 100%. We're both alive where we are not totally there for each other and
never
100% in each other's corner and you know want the best for each other. So I feel comfortable enough to do those more difficult conversations.
Absolutely.
Because there's a security that's like, well, you're never
not
going to
change
there.
This.
I know that I'm always going to be there for you. And, you know, I know that we're always going to be best friends. That is the bottom line.
Yeah.
There's nothing 100%. That could ever change that for either of us, I don't think. So, I know I'm so lucky to have a sister that I have this with because I know so many people, especially
people
have sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where there's kind of conflict or there's competition or there's just something that doesn't quite fit right. And I count my lucky stars all the time mm-hmm. that I have got what I've got with you, because I know that that is, you know, so special. So
we are very fortunate
that we have the bond and the friendship that we do.
Yeah, we are, Pats.
Anyway, there we go. A different episode this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you liked it. Remember, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find Ange and I both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth_Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.